You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Tuesday, February 17, 2026. Bright side of the road. Refiners could benefit from dramatic shifts across U.S. markets. Published by John Hours and Robert Hours. The U.S. is facing a significant shift in regional refinery prospects and refined product trade flows due to supply, demand, and regulatory trends. This is driving the development of significant new pipelines headed west, paired with continued refinery shutdowns along the West Coast and, to a lesser extent, a similar dynamic from the mid-continent to the East Coast. At the same time, refined product exports are becoming ever more important to Gulf Coast refiners, and a variety of global developments will play a major role in their ability to grow those volumes. All these factors have the U.S. refining industry poised to move into a new era shaped by consolidation, efficiency, and market power. In today's RBN blog, we'll discuss the major changes reshaping the U.S. refining industry. Let's start by emphasizing that there is an upheaval happening across the U.S. This isn't your father's, or even older brother's, refining industry anymore. Key elements of refining, from the types of crude to the mix of end products to the distances they are being piped or shipped to market, are changing, dramatically in some cases. But this is more than just logistics. New projects are redrawing the map and altering how large parts of the country, the West Coast, East Coast, and even the middle parts in between, are supplied. Our focus in this blog is on midstream developments, but projects within the refineries themselves will also be important and discussed in more detail in a future piece. Here are the major projects taking shape in the months and years ahead, each of them discussed in detail in the newly available edition of the biannual Future of Fuels report by RBN's Refined Fuels Analytics Practice. Fresh off its acquisition of refined products pipeline giant Magellan Midstream Partners, ONEOK announced in September an open season for the Sunbelt Connector. The 24-inch diameter Greenfield pipeline would run from El Paso, Texas, to the Phoenix area and connect to the company's existing refined products pipeline system, allowing refined products to flow west to Arizona markets from refineries in Texas and Oklahoma. The proposed line is designed with an initial capacity of 200,000 barrels per day targeted for a mid-2029 startup. This would deepen Phoenix's structural links to the Gulf Coast and Mid-Con supply via ONEOK's existing refined products pipelines. Phillips 66, or P66, and Kinder Morgan released details in October on their proposed Western Gateway pipeline. This project, which combines the substantial refining assets of P66, along with some key existing midstream infrastructure, with Kinder Morgan's extensive Southwest U.S. products distribution system, involves a roughly 1,300-mile refined product system designed to move Mid-Con barrels into Arizona and Southern California. It is anchored by a new 800-mile 20-inch pipeline from Borger, Texas, the site of a 160,000 barrels per day P66 refinery, to Phoenix, combined with a reversal of Kinder Morgan's existing 515-mile, 20-inch SFPP West Line from Phoenix to Colton, California, that would allow product to flow west. In addition, the P66-operated Gold Pipeline, which currently flows from Borger to St. Louis, would be reversed to enable refined products from Mid-Con refineries, including P66's 237,000 barrels per day Ponca City plant in Oklahoma and its 384,000 barrels per day Wood River refinery in Illinois, to flow toward Borger and feed Western Gateway. The Borger to El Paso segment would be newly built, while the El Paso to Phoenix section would leverage portions of the SFPP East Line corridor. P66 and Kinder Morgan completed a successful initial open season in December and launched a second one that began January 16 and will close on March 31. The second open season adds new access to the Los Angeles market via a joint tariff supported by the planned reversal of the existing SFPP West Line. A Wells Fargo report released on February 13 described Western Gateway as one of the most interconnected proposed projects and said its plan to leverage existing pipelines should benefit costs, regulatory efforts, and time to market. HF Sinclair has also entered the fray. It announced in October that it is considering a multi-phased expansion of its refined products pipeline network across parts of Pads 4, Rockies, and 5, West Coast. The effort would enable up to 150,000 barrels per day of incremental supply to move into Western markets, particularly Nevada and California, in response to West Coast refinery closures. Phase 1 focuses on expanding the near-full Pioneer pipeline from Sinclair, Wyoming, to Salt Lake City and debottlenecking the UNEF pipeline from Salt Lake City to Las Vegas. The company is targeting a mid-2026 final investment decision, or FID, and 2028 completion to add roughly 35,000 barrels per day of Rockies sourced supply into Nevada. Additional phases under review include reversing and expanding the Medicine Bow, Medbow, pipeline to run west, adding capacity on Pioneer and UNF, and building a new Salt Lake City to Reno Lateral. That positions these projects as complementary to Sun Belt and Western Gateway by moving Rockies barrels west on a more northern corridor to serve markets impacted by closures in the San Francisco Bay Area. While the startup of these projects is at least a couple of years away, ONEOK's planned 230,000 barrels per day refined products pipeline from Scott City, Kansas, to Denver is expected to be online in mid-2026. This project introduces significant new MidCon to Denver capacity, reshaping regional economics. This new inflow could very well support a shift toward westbound, and potentially bidirectional, flows and reinforce broader interregional movements of MidCon barrels toward PADD 5 markets. Taken together, these projects represent a structural reshuffling of refined product flows across the western half of the U.S. The common theme is the decisive pull of Arizona, and, increasingly, Nevada and California, away from traditional California refinery supply and toward refineries in Texas, the MidCon, and the Rockies. This new approach undermines the long-standing California to inland model that allowed California refiners to use Arizona and Nevada as pressure valves for surplus production. Now, Arizona and Nevada are poised to become central playmakers. Western Gateway targets those volumes by replacing Arizona's California supply and extending MidCon barrels into California itself via a reversed SFPP West line. At the same time, Sun Belt gives Texas and MidCon refiners a parallel, California-free path into Arizona. More on Arizona in a moment. HF Sinclair's Northern Corridor expands Rockies supply into even more western markets. There are a host of reasons that the pipelines are being built, headed by positive demographic trends in the growing Southwest market and regulatory developments that have negatively impacted California refiners. Changes in the West. California faces the most challenging future for refiners, with a very difficult regulatory environment and declining regional demand, due largely to policies encouraging the use of non-petroleum substitutes and increased electric vehicle adoption, which are the biggest headwinds. The completion of Canada's Trans Mountain Expansion Project, or TMX, has improved PADD 5's crude supply situation somewhat, but not enough to compensate for the difficult regulatory conditions, and as a result, the region is still bracing for substantial refinery closures. We expect these additional capacity declines to total over 1 million barrels per day from 2026, after the planned Valero Benicia closure, to 2045, aimed at maintaining relatively balanced gasoline and diesel markets. The jet fuel shortage would grow in this scenario, with imports expected to increase substantially. Refiners are already attempting to manage this difficult future. At the end of 2025, P66 closed its 139,000 barrels per day Los Angeles area refinery complex, citing an uncertain future environment for refining in California. The facility spans two sites, in Carson and Wilmington, connected by pipeline, and P66 is working with real estate firms to evaluate redevelopment options. See, it's time to go. Valero Energy also has plans to shutter its 150,000 barrels per day Benicia refinery in the Bay Area by the end of April, with the site to be converted into housing and commercial property, while using harder to remediate sections for industrial or warehousing uses. While California's government has been publicly working to find a buyer for Benicia, time is running very short and we believe it is unlikely to succeed. Another factor shuffling the refining map is demand growth in Arizona. It has been among the fastest growing states over the past 25 years, with the vast majority of its population growth and demand for refined products coming from the Phoenix and Tucson metropolitan areas. Total Arizona demand for refined products is expected to rise by about 10% over the next 10 years, from roughly 320,000 barrels per day to 350,000 barrels per day, with gasoline and diesel demand staying flat at roughly 190,000 barrels per day and 90,000 barrels per day respectively, and demand for jet fuel increasing from roughly 40,000 barrels per day to 70,000 barrels per day by the second half of the 2030s. This growth is supplemented by the adjacent Las Vegas metro area in southern Nevada, which has and will continue to see similar strong growth in refined products demand. It should be noted that both Phoenix and Las Vegas are seeing significant growth in jet fuel demand, which will continue into the 2030s and beyond, with a major expansion planned for Phoenix's Sky Harbor International Airport, 2033 completion target, and plans for a new supplemental airport for Las Vegas, late 2030s completion target. In addition to changes within the U.S., international developments afoot could have a massive positive impact on U.S. refiners, starting with the likelihood that additional volumes of Venezuelan crude oil will end up with Gulf Coast refiners. As we discussed in Take Me Money and Run Venezuela and Orinoco Flow, the unfolding situation in Venezuela is fluid, chaotic, and will take years to resolve. Venezuela, once a cornerstone supplier of heavy sour crude to U.S. Gulf Coast refineries, has seen its oil industry unravel after decades of decline. Production plunged from about 3.5 million barrels per day in the late 1990s to less than 1 million barrels per day today. After years of state control under former President Nicolas Maduro and his predecessor, Hugo Chavez, chronic underinvestment has gutted production capacity in the country's refineries. However, President Trump has said the goal is to help Venezuela ramp up oil production, which would significantly boost Gulf Coast refineries' economics and support their continued global leadership. These developments come during a very turbulent time for the global refining industry. As noted in our newly available Future of Fuels report, many international projects continue to face headwinds, including political instability, logistics, and shortages of skilled labor. For example, despite policy focus and billions of dollars invested in utilization improvements, the refineries operated by Mexico's state-owned Pemex remain inefficient and unprofitable, and the new Dos Bocas refinery continues to struggle in a slow, drawn-out startup. Utilization and clean product yields remain well below industry averages, and the resulting fuel oil surplus continues to flow north to the U.S. Gulf Coast, where complex refineries convert it into higher-value products. We believe the challenges other countries face in constructing new refineries and even operating existing plants, along with a shift in the Middle East away from building new fuels-focused facilities, support the ability of U.S. Gulf Coast refiners, who maintain multiple competitive advantages, to continue to grow exports and thrive in an uncertain world. The fundamental changes in today's blog will be highlighted in much more detail in Future of Fuels. The report provides an in-depth analysis of the U.S. and global refining industries, focusing on crude oil and fuel market dynamics, supply and demand, alternative fuels, refinery capacities, and price forecasts to help stakeholders navigate the evolving energy landscape. Bright Side of the Road was written by Van Morrison and appears as the first song on side one of Van Morrison's 11th studio album, Into the Music. It's an up-tempo song about positivity, seemingly an answer to the song The Dark End of the Street. It also appears on The Best of Van Morrison and The Philosopher's Stone. The song has been covered by artists such as Shakira, Hothouse Flowers, Raul Malo, and the Jerry Garcia Band. Released as a single in September 1979, it reached number 110 on Billboard's Bubbling Under the Hot 100 singles chart in the U.S., just missing the main Hot 100 list. In Morrison's homeland of Ireland, it went to number 2 on the singles charts. Personnel on the record were Van Morrison, lead vocals, guitar, harmonica, Herbie Armstrong, guitar, David Hughes bass, Mark Jordan, piano, Peter Van Hook, drums, Pee Wee Ellis, tenor sax, Mark Isham, trumpet, Tony Marcus, violin, Zakir Hussain, tabla, and Katie Kassoon, backing vocals. Into the Music was recorded in early 1979 at the record plant in Sausalito, California, and produced by Van Morrison and Mick Glossop. Morrison wrote most of the songs on the album while staying in the Cotswolds village of Epwell, England. He would walk through the countryside with his guitar, writing songs, and the sense of beauty and peace he found there is reflected in the songs on the LP. Released in August 1979, the album went to number 43 on the Billboard 200 albums chart. Three singles were released from the LP. Van Morrison, Sir George Ivan Van Morrison, is a Northern Irish singer, songwriter, and musician. He started performing music in the late 1950s and rose to prominence in the mid-1960s as lead singer for the Belfast band, Them, with whom he wrote and recorded Gloria, the classic hit song and garage rock standard. His first hit single as a solo artist came in 1967 with Brown Eyed Girl, which became a standard of cover bands worldwide. As a solo artist, he has released 45 studio albums, 7 live albums, 9 compilation albums and 82 singles and has sold more than 40 million records worldwide. Morrison has won an Americana Lifetime Achievement Award, a Brit Award, 2 Grammy Awards and an Ivor Novello Award, and is a member of the Irish Music Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the Songwriters Hall of Fame. He was knighted for services to the music industry and tourism in Northern Ireland in 2016. He still records and tours, and released his latest album, Somebody Tried to Sell Me a Bridge, in January 2026. He will be doing concerts in the UK and the US beginning in February.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.